What is happening, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Craft. My name is Nick Pollock, and as we go through spring training, I thought to myself, well, there is someone in this industry who I just love picking their brain about. What are they seeing? Who are their favorite guys from the spring? And I thought, you know what? Maybe I should send a text out of nowhere to Eno Saris and see if he'll come on the show. And my gosh, here he is. Let's thank our guest, Eno Saris. Eno, thank you for joining me today on The Craft.
Was that text? What time tomorrow?
I mean, it was, yes. I thought of you. I thought of you, Eno.
Oh, I think of you often. I'm doing good. It's fun. I just wish that we had numbers on every pitcher that pitched video. When we did the collaboration piece, was it last week?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, you know, we were all talking about new collaborations. Like, I was a little surprised when I was going through that there wasn't video for most of them.
Yeah, right. And what's even crazier, do you remember one of the guys I had, Grayson Rodriguez, that was a very much of a thing with us?
Oh, yeah, the back and forth, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember, did you catch what he did today?
What did he do today?
Oh, I don't know. He only went like two innings, and the last pitch he threw was like 89 mile per hour four-seamer.
Ooh, shut up. That is terrible.
Not good news for Grayson Rodriguez, and really terrible news for Orioles fans who, I mean, this is
their
guy.
They need him. I mean, they didn't go get an ace. I think Sugano's interesting. Some of those guys are interesting, but they don't really have an ace.
You know, so I think they should go sign Max Fried. Is he still available?
Oh, yeah. Some guy named Corbin. Corbin, my man.
Patrick Corbin is a free agent.
He is available, actually. But I don't think that's what you want for your ace. That's devastating to me.
Yeah.
I've actually diversified my risk portfolio in that area because I think with second starters, he's around a second starter in most rankings, I think. With second starters, I don't really want to have all the same guy because they're second starters for a reason. You know, we like them. We like certain things about them. But if they had the track record to be first starters, they'd be first starters, right?
Mm-hmm,
and,
right.
You know, a lot of them have a little bit of injury whiff or this or that. So I don't really want to be loaded up. And you know who taught me this lesson a little bit last year? It was Bobby Miller.
No.
I had like two or three or four shares of Bobby Miller because I thought he was a great second starter because I was like, he's got all the stuff and he's got the role and everything's ready. And it was sad times when I didn't. So I have some Grayson. I have some Hunter Brown. I have some, you know, I have guys. In fact, yesterday in TGFBI, I started Crochet, who I call the Rocket because that's how we should say his name.
Oh, Like David Crockett, Davy Crockett,
or with more of a TCH sort of a sound there in the middle.
I'm just thinking the rookie of the year though. That was his name, the Rocket. You know, like
Well, I mean, we don't want that in the airwaves. So don't worry about that. No. But I started with Garrett Crochet. And not Garrett Crochet. And
not that. Crockett is better than
not
that.
Crochet.
No.
And then second was Jacob DeGrom. Third, I had the choice of Grayson Rodriguez. And my YOLO yo-yo strategy was Logan Webb. That's not very exciting. But it was like I've gone really far the other direction. Let me just get some innings here.
So how many rounds is that for you with TGFBI?
It's weird because we're only six or seven rounds in and I have three pitchers. I don't need to do
none.
This.
Zero.
Yeah. But, you know, Crochet was in a spot where I didn't like it was him or Michael Harris. And I'm not really sure I'm in on him fully. He's been injured a lot, and he also hasn't shown us that full season. He's been getting a little bit worse every season too. So, but it was like because of ADP and my values, I was just like, "This is the choice."
No, I understand that completely.
And it was, and I didn't want to do an early closer. I don't have a closer. because I'd rather take some closers later. Stuff Plus is great at closers, I think.
And oh yeah, no, you're absolutely right on that. Yeah.
So I got Crochet. So then DeGrom fell 15 points off of ADP, and I was like, and I got him. So I got a hitter in between. So I'm in the fifth round, and Jacob DeGrom's available in the fifth round.
Oh yeah, that's pretty good.
Acuna was available in the fourth round.
What?
At 58.
Oh my gosh.
And then DeGrom was available at 63. So I went Acuna DeGrom around the fourth, fifth term. I was like, I wouldn't know. These are players I'm out on almost.
Yeah, well, that's
except
the thing.
If they go to the fourth or fifth, I'm back in, I guess.
So I actually debated a little bit doing DeGrom in the fourth. I'm at seven. So I assume you're at one then.
I'm at three, yeah.
You're okay. And DeGrom did go at the 4-5 turn. I thought that was like, man, that was so good.
Yeah. I couldn't say no to that, so I jumped. But it's a lot of risk. I mean, Crochet and DeGrom on the same team, it could go badly. But, you know, one of the nice things is if it go, like, it sort of seems like a 50-50 shot. And if I get one of them to, like, go to the upper end of their innings and the other is on the lower end of their innings, it still could be, like, 250 innings of, like, a 2-8.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. completely. And it's always 50-50. Either the hurt or not. We know this.
Almost for everybody, yeah.
But, no, I mean, for me, it's kind of interesting. I, like, obviously, guys, hi, I'm the one that says, hey, you can always win in pitching. You still need time.
You're doing it.
And I'm actually doing it. And I believe in this because I very much feel, I mean, it's twofold. One, I do think I'm better at finding quality later on and also during the season than I am hitting 100%. I can't emphasize that enough of, like, I personally just much better at that, and I do it every year. So there's that element to it.
I mean, finding hitting during the season is hard.
And I also really do feel that, like, my team right now from the seventh spot, so it's our dead middle, right? Of TGFBI, which is a 15 teamer. If anyone listening doesn't know, Kyle Tucker, Austin Riley, O'Neill Cruz, Brent Rooker, Adley Rutschman, and Christian Yelich. And what's important for me for getting hitters for the most part is just you have to make sure you're getting someone that you feel like, oh yeah, I'm not replacing this. You know, it's like I'm getting that and also has more. So, like, O'Neill Cruz, like, I feel like we're going to get a great season from that. I know it's weird. I'm talking about a hitter.
We don't have his best season yet. I agree with you.
Right. So, but the thing is, the reason I didn't pivot to a starter is because I just kept looking at all the starters left, and I'm like, there's so many.
So who's still on your board now that you're? I mean, you don't have to tell us your queue, but, like,
I was gonna even. I don't care about the queue. Whatever. There's too many guys.
Just go by ADP. Who's the best available by ADP?
And I'm not even gonna talk about closers because I mean, I turned down Robert Suarez, for example, or I'm good. It's Bryce Miller, Aaron Nola, Luis Castillo, Tanner Bibee, Roki Sasaki, Hunter Green, Joe Ryan, Freddie Peralta, right? This is the start of the seventh round. And I'm
bet you one or two of those guys ends up in the top 15, which is your 15 team league.
I mean, I
have. You just need one.
There are. Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point. I mean, that's to be average. But, you know,
right, to be average. Point. Right.
But no, like, even Tyler Glasnow is still on the board.
Yeah.
What? Like, I don't know. For me, it's I actually have my queue and I can easily see myself, if I wanted to, seventh, eighth, and ninth round, go three of those based on ADP and everything that's happened so far. And I would have a phenomenal rotation, right? And so I'm even tempted to go one more, honestly, just because it's like...
Once you get in there. And this is something that I've been coining this YOLO yo-yo, where the YOLO yo-yo is doing Crochet, DeGrom, and then Webb. But there is a flaw to the YOLO yo-yo, which is that sometimes it just you should lean all the way in a YOLO,
yeah,
because you get more, like, so for example, if you're punting something, right, and let's say you were hard punting pitching, you would get more and more benefit the more you punted,
right,
because you'd be getting more and more hitters every time.
Yeah,
you know, if you punt saves, the further you push your closer down, your first closer down, the more other things you're getting, you know?
Yeah.
So the YOLO yo-yo can, you know, work against you. But I just also know that myself is that, like, I love innings. I love plate appearances and that I have this conservative bone in my body when it comes to, you know, playing fantasy, where I want that base. I want innings. I want plate appearances. I don't want to take too many shots and end up going to the wire. I need four players.
Right, you know, right.
For opening day, because all those four shots I took didn't work out, or they all hurt or whatever. So
yeah,
yo-yo is something that works for me. But I also, you know, DVR is a little bit more of a lean in mm-hmm. guy. So he's got a lot of, he started TGFBI with Glasnow and DeGrom.
Oh, man. In that order.
Yeah, he went DeGrom, Glasnow.
Well, okay. But I mean, Glasnow's like still there, 105 ADP or whatever.
Then there's always, each room is different. So
yeah, that's true. But I do want to mention this, guys. When it comes to playing the game of fantasy, I do not claim to be the best in the business. Okay. I will tell you that I like to think I'm very good at finding starters and actually making that work. But when it comes to winning at fantasy leagues, the number one thing that I don't do that I think is the biggest correlation to winning is your time. Is spending the time to actually set those waivers correctly on Sunday. No, be so skilled at when to spend in Fab, identify those exact ones. And I do not. I'm bad at this. So when it comes to actually like in season, those little things, I am not going to sit here and act like I've won TGFBI multiple times. I'm not going to say like I've done this in FBC leagues and all that kind of thing. But I do win my 12 teamers. Because daily transactions that I'm okay at, I don't have to do a weekly fab. And that is where at least my skill set is. But yeah, definitely listen to Eno a lot about that construction. DVRs has success too. Those specific things as an all-encompassing fantasy player, those are your guys to listen to, definitely. We're going to move away from this because it's not expected. But that's, hey, welcome to the craft where we decide to talk about whatever we want to talk about on the
just
fly.
Just blab on.
There are some really interesting things this spring, as there always are. And I think it's the most fun time of the year. Obviously, I get all those comments that are like, Nick, stop caring so much about velocities. It's a trap. You know, some guys throw hard and then they stop. Absolutely. But there are also some guys that don't stop throwing hard. And then it's good to know which ones those are. Seeing rotations change, guys have new things. We obviously wrote that article about all the new pitches and how it's developing. And I wanted to first really see who is that guy that you're just like, you just can't get out of your mind of like, man, this guy's just really good. And we don't talk about him enough. And this guy's killing it. And he's impressed me this spring. Who is that guy for you, Eno?
You know, I wanted to, I've got some interesting guys that are maybe lower depth, you know, deeper leagues, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The guy that's relevant in every league, who is really exciting, who I don't think is getting enough credit for how exciting he really is, and he's added a new pitch, and he's still throwing hard, and he had a pretty good debut, and I think he has more left in him, is Jared Jones.
Yeah.
And I mean, you got a guy who came up last year and struck out 26% of the batters he saw. That's not elite yet, but it is pretty good. And yeah. He had like a 3.72 Sierra, which is not elite yet, but it's better than his 4.14 ERA. And I think some people saw that ERA and saw that he had kind of a smaller arsenal last year and could be get predictable and maybe just didn't give him any credit for being able to change these things going forward. But he's 23 years old, and I just saw a video of his sinker. I was just watching his sinker, and it's legit. The sinker is legit. It has movement in on right-handed hitters. It's a wrinkle that he hasn't been throwing, and he's thrown seven of them. It has double the arm side movement of his four-seam fastball, 5 inches less ride, so it's a significantly different pitch. He still throws at 95. A little bit interesting that he doesn't get up to the sort of 90, the 97 that he gets on the four-seam, but people, that's about, you know, some people have a 2 to 3 mile per hour gap. Some people have less than that. But he's also been throwing his changeup a lot.
Yeah. To lefties, right?
Yeah. He's got 10 of those. They're 91. So it's everything's still power. But with an 82 mile an hour curveball, he can stretch between 97 and 82. I think the curveball may be more of a kind of a show me pitch that he's mm-hmm. going to You know, just throw when he doesn't think you're going to swing, maybe get a called strike, maybe just change your eye level and your, the velocity band. So you're like, oh, that was 82. What the hell?
Yeah, right,
so
right.
Slow. Everything's been 90 plus, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, that'll be a change of pace, but the sinker is something that's important because if everything's hard, they can start to like pigeonhole you with the hard and say, oh, the hardest one is straight. The second hardest one is bendy. You know, that's the slider and the fastball. If you can give them another one where it's like, oh, that was hard, but it came in on me.
Yeah.
You're going to soft bats. I think you're going to reduce that home run rate, which was a little bit higher. Like it was one of the higher ones he's had last mm-hmm. year, 1.3 per nine. So I think he can reduce the home run rate with that. He may lead to some walks if he can't command it as well. But I think with a 7% walk rate last year, he could walk a few more batters and strike a few more batters out and be a better pitcher overall. So,
absolutely.
You know, I see something like he could throw to a 3.3 ERA this year.
Oh, yeah.
With like a 28% strikeout
rate. You know, something that I struggle with a bit is trying to figure out what to do the second year with a guy. Mm-hmm. Right. And when I think about the guys we consider just, oh, yeah, that guy's an elite pitcher now or whatever. Like it took Glasnow a while. Right. And finally found a slider and became that bridge pitch.
Guys, a lot. I love Pepio. Right? And that was last year was like his second real year, right. You know?
Exactly. I think of Shane McClanahan, his first year was not necessarily absurd. You know, it was a 123 whip or something like that.
And
it
was terrible his first
then
year.
Then bam. Then he all of a sudden, yeah. You know, he has that little extra bit and all of a sudden he's done and he's more comfortable in the majors. And we even saw Bryce Miller. Bryce Miller's first year was not the same as it was last year.
And it can't always be, you can use stuff to some extent, but you can, mm-hmm. it can't always be just stuff based because they'll add a pitch that's not yeah. in the stuff, you know?
Right. So yeah, like, exactly.
Like it's, Bryce Miller's splitter. You're like, oh, okay, well, he didn't have that before.
Right. And it's also about, one thing I really like to identify a lot in young arms, especially in their rookie year more so, but it does carry over into the second, is if a guy comes up and has success and it looks a little weird, I'm not really into them until they fail. When they come out of failure and have success again, then I'm in, because you need to get punched in the face once and be able to say, okay, I have to adapt. And then once you get past that, mentally the confidence shoots up. Mm-hmm. It says, okay, I can get past this. Mm-hmm. I know how to make those tweaks. I know how to figure myself out. Now we see this constantly with pitchers. And Jared Jones got punched in the face in September last year. Yeah. He was on top of the world the first spring and you know, set the record for most whiffs in the first games or whatever it was. I can't remember exactly, but it was insane. And then he gets this injury, goes on the IL, gets you know some rest, comes back, is not quite the same. The command was off. And now he's like, okay, cool. I got to figure this out, right? So I wish I saw like just like two starts of like, yeah, I'm Jared Jones, you know, that kind of thing. But I feel really good about this. Him adding that sinker is such a big thing, I think, against right-handers. The changeup getting introduced. And I think, honestly, Jared Jones is not one of those that's just, oh, I can't do anything except throw hard and throw sliders. He's not that kind of guy.
More than that, yeah.
He's definitely someone that can add the pieces to this.
Stuff likes his changeup enough and, you know, doesn't think his command was bad, you know, yeah. for the season. So
the other
it is thing, a really nice fastball. One of the things I do like amazing. To bet on a little bit is that fastball.
Yes, completely. Now,
like Sean Burke, like we talk about Sean Burke. Why do I like Sean Burke? He's like, he has the good fastball. He can make tweaks and find a splitter yeah. or find a cutter or whatever.
It was 94 last start.
That's not Sean as good Burke. As last year.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Hopefully that comes back. I don't know why it was. It was like, what are you doing? But no, with Jones, though. Yeah. With Jared Jones, it is a thing that we saw always, though, was that he would throw like 99 in the first, and then by like the third, it's like 96, and then it would be like 95, you know? And that's something that over time...
He could have a third act where he does the opposite.
Well, right. That, I mean, that's...
sits lower and reaches back when he can get it.
I'm very much into pitchers who do that. Like the Carlos Rodon, Justin Verlander, who sit two ticks under, and then they push it in the third time through the lineup, essentially. You know, and they actually are able to live underneath and go. I think Jared Jones can do that. Like you should be. You have the velocity enough to do that. So I love this with Jared Jones. I think the market, as far as where we're placing him, has been this. Yeah, but is it real though? We don't know. It's just two pitches. We're kind of hesitant. And no, I have him. He's in my queue. Like I'm finding myself wanting to put him in the top 30 or so for myself.
Yeah, I've got him.
It's as risky as it might seem.
I've got him like 35-ish.
Yeah.
You know, that's not too far from getting up there.
Right. By the way, there is a quote about Grayson Rodriguez that Alex Fass, of course, he sent me. it's from Jake Grill. And they said that Grayson Rodriguez said he just didn't have it today. He was not trying to throw 95 at 100% consistently. He was focused more on buildup, arm slots, etc. That will eventually change. Quote, obviously, coming up, we're going to start letting it eat. How much do you buy that, you know?
There's been some studies of like what the relationship is between spring training velocity and regular season velocity, and they're not as tight as you might expect.
Okay.
I think it has also to do with the opposite can be somebody can show really good velo. I'm wondering about like Kenta Maeda. Like Kenta Maeda right now is like 92.5. And I'm like, is that because he's throwing two innings or is that because he's actually feeling froggy?
Actually, Evan Petzl covered yesterday's game. He had no data, no TV, but he said Kenta Maeda was 91-92. And also was like 90 and change by the end of it, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So so maybe his video hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
I do think he's just going to get that roster, that fifth slot though, because he's out of options. He's a major guy.
He was a long relief last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know. I'm holding out hope for Job, man. All right.
Yeah, right.
He's going to do that. He's just so good. But yeah, with Grayson, I mean, 89 is still like 89. And I would think like, cool,
it's so far different.
Yeah, it's like 6-7.
You think that not letting it eat could be like 93. You
know? Yeah, right. Like that's not supposed to be there. I did want to talk just quickly about what's also really fun, by the way, with the spring guys is this is actually when I get most interested in deep pitchers because we see more now and then in season, I only see 5 of them or so. I don't actually get to see those other deep options. So I get a bigger look on them and I cover more of these guys, which has me going, oh man, I actually might kind of work with this guy. And I have to mention it. The Rangers situation to me is very interesting. They have Tyler Mahle, who is not looking good. He's not reclaiming any of the velocity. So what are the Rangers going to do? And we're going to talk about what that might be after this break. All right. So the Rangers situation, with Tyler Mahle maybe not making that rotation, who is the number 5? We thought it could be Kumar Rocker in the preseason and in the offseason, I should say. But he hasn't looked great in the spring. And I love what Jack Leiter has done. He's made me really excited. He looks like more of a refined pitcher than he was during his call-up. But there was a signing by the Rangers. Yeah, Dane Dunning, get out of here. And the signing was Adrian Hauser. And he's up to
the gum on our shoe.
And he's at 95 now, as opposed to 93. That's with the four seamer and the sinker.
But again, like 13 fastballs, so not 95 for 5 innings.
That's very true. And he's trying to prove himself to get a spot. Absolutely right. I think it was 2 straight starts that I've seen him at that, though, to be fair.
Yeah. And we've got, there's this cool thing that John Becker's put together called Roster Battles.
Okay.
What is his
handle? Yeah, John Becker's great.
Just John
Becker. I haven't heard of this. This is cool. It's just essentially displaying those who are, fighting for those spots, I assume.
Oh, you found it pretty quickly?
No. I'm assuming that you called the Roster Battles. I was like,
Yeah. No. So he's got, but what's cool is he like bolds, he puts in red people that are out of options.
Okay.
Which I do think is often.
I miss it.
That's important.
You highlighted it for me. It's great.
So it's john-becker.com on Blue Sky. So so he's got like, there's like guys in red that are out of options. And what you can do then is you can say, he's got Tyler Mahle in the rotation, but you can also go over to the bullpen and see what's going on in the bullpen. And they have Chris Martin, Jacob Webb, Robert Garcia, Sean Armstrong, Hobie Miller, Luke Jackson. Mm-hmm. That's 6 people. If they're locks, that means they only have 2 more spots. If you put Hauser in the bullpen and Bradford in the rotation, you're releasing Tyler Mahle?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you might. Honestly, Mahle, might. You know, like this is not someone you're going to trust at all, right? Like
it's also not a very good bullpen. So if you're using up bullpen slots on Hauser, like Hauser actually could be like a pretty good like sixth inning guy, come out, get you, you know, sinkers. He's a power sinker, get you ground balls, like, you know, erase inherited runners kind of guy. But I wouldn't trust Tyler Mahle much. Tyler Mahle would be kind of like in case of emergency break glass guy.
Yeah.
And that would cost you kind of two spots in your bullpen that you couldn't give to somebody that could be better, that could end up being a closer for you, like Teodo or Emiliano Teodo.
No, Teodo. Oh man.
Somebody with like outstanding stuff that you're like, we may need a closer by the end of the year.
Right.
It's not going to be Dane Dunning. It's not going to be Cody Bradford. It's not going to be Tyler
Mahle. Kamar Rocker? Is it Jack Leiter? Right.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that chance, but they need starters as well. So
yeah.
I'm just saying that like, I would love to say that like, oh, Hauser will make it because he's got no options and he's kind of like a waiver guy, or the same for Tyler Mahle, that he's a veteran. So he's just going to make it because the other option is to release them and to lose them as a possible asset. So it's just something to think about where that's something that people think about. That's a little bit beyond just who's the best player, you know, who's the best
absolutely.
Pitcher.
No, this is great.
So I kind of think Tyler Mahle might just make it because
I know
they want him to either be hurt or good. They can just be like, well, his elbow's barking, so now Kumar. But if you were just doing on talent, I think Kumar and Jack Leiter are your 4 and 5.
Well, I mean, I would say Cody Bradford has to be in there though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Over John Gray. If it was just talent, rank the Rangers on just talent. Like DeGrom, Eovaldi, Rocker, Leiter, Bradford, Gray?
I would say Gray goes to the bullpen. That's what I will say forever. That's what I, but who knows?
He could be better than Mahle in the bullpen. I mean, at least he already throws hard. Yeah. So if you give him an extra mile an hour, it's more like 95. If you give Tyler Mahle an extra mile an hour, it's 92.
Well, right. And John Gray needs that for his fastball because it's not a good fastball and he needs all the velocity he can get on it. He's really just a one pitch guy, I think, with the slider.
Yeah, so. But they've said he's in the rotation. So
yeah, I know.
I often go with like, you know, I think that GMs are boring, you know, and they want to be boring. So they're gonna put Tyler Mahle and Cody Bradford in there, Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. You guys did a great job. We're really excited for you. You're gonna be up in no time. Do your best down there, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Oh man. So it's something at least to monitor just to figure out what the Rangers are doing there, because I think we're on the same page that if Jack Leiter is in that rotation, oh boy, we are.
Yeah. I was looking at his pitch mix. This is amazing, dude.
Yeah, it is,
He's thrown the sinker as much as the four seam, or not as much, but
no, he's incorporated it against right-handers.
Yeah.
Great.
And then he's thrown the changeup this much. He's thrown the changeup 14 times and the slider 17. And it's a power changeup, 92.
And he's throwing harder too. I think it's like a tick up as well. Like,
oh my God. 98 on the fastball, 97.5 on the sinker. See, that's what I was saying, that sometimes they're closer four seam fastball and sinkers. For him, it's, you know, it's a half mile.
And also, of course, I say this every single year, is that young guys, especially in those smaller innings, are going to be harder than usual because they're proving a point. They're trying to earn
trying to make the roster.
Yeah. As opposed to like, all right, Eovaldi, you're probably going to be like a tick down right now. We know. It's fine, right?
He even threw his curveball at times. So he's really mixing it up out there. And if he's mixing it up out there, the nice thing, I don't like to look at spring training results too much.
But I don't care. Unless it's like absurd K per walk.
Well, the good news is, he's throwing all these pitches. He's not walking, guys. I mean, you can look a little bit. Ks and BBs and like ground balls and fly balls, they're at least something that could be meaningful in 3 weeks. So I'd monitor that walk rate right now. 5% walk rate for Jack Leiter. Could he just be like I know you want to be boring, but look at me,
yo. Like, I'm dope. Come on,
I'm doing so well. I'm doing everything you asked me to.
Dad, you know help me out. Oh man. Speaking of walks, though, there is one guy I have to bring up that Eno has really shined the light on the options discussion for spring that I wasn't really aware of and wasn't putting it on my radar before. And it has highlighted a situation in Washington with the Nationals, because DJ Hurst had four walks in like an inning. And we were looking at this and going, right, Hurst has options, and who would they remove from this rotation? With Soroka looking good, Ogasawara, I think I finally got it right on the first try, is a guy in their rotation now. And there's Irvin and Trevor Williams and Mackenzie Gore. Is Hurst just going to start the season Triple A, you know?
I mean, like, it feels to me like, I also think about a little bit about, like, I call it the monkey sphere, where it's like, you know, just politics, like people politics.
Yeah.
Okay. And like, you know, like Trevor Williams and Mitchell Parker were in the rotation last year.
Right.
And they weren't terrible. Like Trevor Williams is even good, you know, before he got injured, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. He was having a career year, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mitchell Parker was fine. We talked about him on the cast a couple times, mm-hmm. where it's like, he has some good things and some bad things, and he was fine. Neither one of them did anything to lose a spot in the rotation.
Right.
And so if you're going to make these guys come to camp and be like, oh, this spring you did something to lose this rotation? No. So I think they're in. Same with Jake Irvin. These are guys that are not super exciting, but they didn't do anything to lose a job. So it's Gore, Irvin, Williams, and Parker for me.
Yeah, I forgot about Parker. Completely right. So then you have three guys for this last spot in Ogasawara.
And if Soroka starts,
yeah,
I feel like he starts. I've been thinking Soroka's just headed for the bullpen. Mm. And I think that Ogasawara is actually kind of interesting, because what kind of a deal is he on? He must be on a major league deal.
Right.
Was he?
Oh, I don't know. I should know this, and I don't. Really, the takeaway for me, of course, is that DJ Hurst, not in there.
2-year, $3.5 million deal. That's a major league contract.
Right. He should be starting.
It's a low enough number, though, that he could be in the bullpen, I guess.
Fair enough. Sure. But you do agree that Hurst is going to be in AAA likely to start the year.
Mm.
Yeah. And so it's interesting, because I was really excited to see Hurst start, as someone who has been out on Hurst. And a lot of people are like, oh, Hurst is the strikeout rate. I remember actually, I think during PitchCon, I think it was Doug Thorburn liked the momentum that he had. And actually, I understood that a bit when it came to his delivery. But it's really more about consistency. I mean, you can see that in that spring training game, sure. But it's just that Hurst had good games when he had his changeup working. And when he didn't, he wasn't good.
It is spring training only, but it's 6 walks and 3 1/3. I mean, whew.
Yeah. It's unfortunately
your case for Hurst.
I know you wanted to mention Will Warren a little bit on this, because now that Heel is out for some time, Stroman is there. He's like, cool, I've got the starting opportunity. And what does he do? He has a terrible first game. He's like, hey, I love this opportunity. What a great time.
And the boring answer is that Stroman is going to be in the rotation.
Oh, absolutely. But
he's been yelling how he doesn't want to be in the pen.
Well, right. Thing is, though, if there's any sort of crack now in that rotation, it's Will Warren. And you seem to be someone who's very much in on Will Warren.
Yeah, I wanted to bring him up because watching him, I enjoyed it. I thought he was hitting his spots. I thought the four seam has 16 inches of IBB. That's like dead zone-ish. That's, I mean, like almost quite literally, I think the average, major league average is 16.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have that bit of a lower slot. So there's a little bit of unexpected rise there, you know? But just generally, I thought he was able to throw the four seam inside to lefties, which I know that's my inner Nick Pollock, you know, saying, hey, that's good. He can do that. he also threw the changeup as much as the sweeper and located it pretty well down. And so he's a little bit, he's basically like four seam. He's like sinker sweeper to righties, which is really kind of devastating. It's on, I think when it's at its best, it's on the level ish of like King and Schmidt, like
that's really
sinker
good.
Sweeper there. And then I'd say that his four seam fastball changeup combination reminded me more of King than it did of Schmidt. So I think they might have a little baby Michael King operation going here.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And it looked so much better than it did last year. And he looked like he was in charge. He was up against Zach Wheeler, and Zach Wheeler fell apart. I mean, it's just one game. Again, I'm trending towards the results. This is eye testy stuff, but I was like, I'm watching. It was like, oh, he feels like he belongs. And his batters weren't the guys batting for his team. It was, I think they were away. They were in the gray pants. So Will Warren is here going up against the best Phillies lineup and shutting them down. And he, on his side, he has Spencer Jones hitting tanks and Jason Dominguez and like all the like away, the away game Yankees. And they were, when Will Warren like went to the dugout, they were up like 7-1. And he, so maybe it was just one of those things where one look can fool you, you know, like, oh,
sure.
It can look like he was in command today. Everything looked great.
You know? Right. It can also be the other thing, though. It could be just one start to then accelerate you, give you that confidence and continue going.
Yeah. And I think that is something that he needed because his debut wasn't very good.
No, he really stumbled when he showed up in the majors last year. I remember even going against the White Sox. I'm like, this is a great stream, guys. Will Warren is good enough to do this. No, he's not. Oh, boy.
But again, if you just focus on strikeouts and walks and not the ERA, not too far from Jared Jones, surprisingly, 26.4% strikeout rate, 9% walk rate. I mean, Jared Jones, we're saying 27 something was good with like a 7.
Oh,
eight,
yeah. And that's great. If that sustains over the same of a larger sample. Absolutely. Will Warren.
Yeah. So totally he did that. Have some swing and miss. I think he does have a package that works against righties. It's just what can you do against lefties? And that Phillies team had good lefties. He got Harper out. He got Schwarber out. Like, so the one problem is that it's a little bit of a name to circle because I think they're just going to go with Stroman unless.
Oh, right. That's the thing. And there are a lot
Stroman
of those.
Really poops the bed, though.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be, I mean, everyone wants to talk about the health risks of Cole, Rodon, and Fried and Schmidt even. So we'll see what happens there.
Seems
but definitely
very
someone to circle when he does
get
his opportunities. Yeah,
he's the sixth starter. And knowing,
I don't know who the seventh is. Right. There's nothing.
They keep trading it away. They trade away all their pitching depth.
It's really like I do these breakdowns of every single team every year. I think the last one has come out. So if you want to look at a certain team, just go, who are the options on those teams? I've got all the words you want on them. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at the Yankees going, there is nothing else. Chase
Carlos Carrasco.
No, you want to know the one that
JT Brubaker's hurt.
That was the one. He was the one that was the most interesting to me. You know, like, okay. Yeah. Oh, man. Honestly, the Yankees are going to be the one that get traded for Sandy Alcantara, who now is going to do the reverse crochet. Do you remember me saying that? They should do the reverse crochet for Sandy Alcantara. They're doing it.
Give the cutter to him or what?
No. The Marlins, how they're treating Sandy Alcantara. They're making him go like
three or four at the beginning of the season.
And then they trade him because he's at max value now because now he can go off the rest of the year.
Idea.
Yeah. And that's what they're doing.
Well, I just want just a note for people listening to sort of fantasy strategy wise. I think you should know the sixth starter for every team, even
absolutely.
If you're in a 10 or 12 team league, because the reason is the IL, the likelihood of the pitcher goes on the IL in any given season is over 40%. So when we were joking about 50-50, we weren't that far off. It's 40%. 40% of all pitchers go on the IL. Yeah. It's terrifying. Yeah.
Oh, God.
The other thing is six starters. The last time I checked this was like 5 years ago. And they were averaging like already 90 to 100 innings.
Yeah. Now,
so I would seem like, I think they've flattened everything out. Like the top guys don't go to 200 anymore. So,
I mean, how do we also define sixth starter? Because look at the Mets. I mean, they already they already have their sixth and seventh starters in there.
Yeah.
You know? So,
well, that's a good example of like how quickly a sixth starter can become relevant, you know?
Sure.
And when I was ranking Tyler Megill, I was like, oh, I really like this guy. You know, I think he has the mix.
Drives me up the wall. He drives me up the wall, you know. He cannot locate his four-seamer. He can't do it.
But he's throwing a sinker now.
That's not the good pitch. The good pitch is a four-seamer.
Actually,
and he just can't locate the thing, and he can't have a foundation.
His best pitch. Sinker's his best pitch by Stuff Plus.
Oh, man. You know why I know who else can't locate their four-seamer, you know?
Who's that?
Yamamoto. It got better, you know. It got better. 1.7 height adjusted VAA is essentially Joe Ryan. It's like 98th percentile flat attack angle now. He increased its vert and he throws it middle and down.
Oh.
And guess how many whiffs he had on that pitch? Zero.
Zero.
Zero. And it allowed, I think it was the our 3D Expo Bacon, which uses 3D spray angle instead of just 2D. Which is really cool. Yeah, over 500, you know, on that. Like, because you don't throw it where you should throw it.
Wow.
It drives me insane.
Rookie, did you see the rookie?
Oh, yeah, of course. And then that was the segue there, you know. So we have that Dodgers game. Yamamoto did well, I guess, results-wise. Too many hits allowed, but not really amazing because the four-seamer won't do it, but his splitter is good. And Roki started. And for those that missed this, Roki Sasaki showed up. He was flirting, you know, 100 even. It was like 99 mile per hour fastballs, 98 average, 98.
Yeah.
And his splitter, 7 for 18 whiffs on this.
I thought
they
got some okay swings off on the four seam though.
And well, that's the thing. It was one whiff on that four seamer, 98 mile per hour fastball. Yes. Extension was closer to 7 feet than 6.5, which is good, but bad vert on it. And it was an average, like a 0.8 height adjusted VA, which essentially says like it's what people expect essentially when they swing at a baseball. So are you in on Sasaki or not? After watching this, I think I know where I side. I'm curious where you are.
I thought the Rockets foul and the results on the four seam were worrisome. The splitter looked amazing, and you know, we can sit here and talk about how his four seam is not great, but you know whose four seam is also not great is Kodai Senga's. And you know, what if Kodai Senga threw 98? You'd be pretty excited.
Well, there's a big difference though.
Kodai Senga has the cutter.
Exactly. That saved him. That is the glory pitch of Senga. And actually, what's kind of cool is that Senga's
cutter Pollock.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you're the cutter. The cutters are amazing. Cutters are like the glue of so many arsenals. It's insane.
What group chat do we have where you're like, cutter.
E. Lanson, Eric in here. Yeah. Oh, I'm just like, guys, cutter. You should throw a cutter.
Hey, guys.
Andrew Heaney's throwing a cutter now. I think that's a very good thing.
So he's good now.
Well, he might be. He has a chance, though. Yeah. No. I did want to mention, though, is that Kodai Senga actually added to his arsenal. He was lower in velocity, which is kind of expected, I think, at this point in the spring for his first real game here. But showcasing a lot of things and thinking of Senga as like a cutter, four-seamer, splitter, and all of a sudden seeing, oh, no, there's a slider here. Oh, there's a sweeper here. Oh, there's a curveball. They're like, he threw one ghost fork in that game, which is pretty cool. With Sasaki, I'm not thrilled that the breaking ball he tried to throw just kept going around on it, didn't have a good feel for it.
He does not have a good feel for spin.
And
good spin rates does not.
And that's the thing that scares me, because you need to have a bridge pitch. Look, the thing I talk about with splitters is that if you can be Kevin Gausman and throw 65% strikes with your splitter, fine.
That was my comp for Rookie Sasaki was Kevin.
That makes a lot of sense, actually, have it as a Gausman.
Does he have the touch?
Right. Exactly.
Gausman has pretty good touch.
It's unbelievable how good Gausman's touch is, and that consistency. It's like the most consistent splitter, I think, in baseball. At least it was until it was worse last year. Right. But Sasaki, right, he needs something else to get there than the fastball. And the fact
because Kodai actually doesn't have the same touch on his splitter either. It's the ghost fork. Like it sometimes it hits the ground. Sometimes
it works even there. It was like a 54% strike rate or so, but that's good enough because he has the 70% strike rate cutter.
The cutter.
And the thing is, the fastball, I wouldn't even say is great with Senga, but the way he uses both in the zone, it made it work. It was this mystery that I figured out like, you know, a year and a half ago. It's like, how does this actually work? I'm like, oh, I get it.
I just landed on the most mealy mouth, terrible place for Sasaki, which is the mid 20s in my rankings, which is just awful because it just means that it's the thing where I'm like, yeah. Might be really good, but you won't get him if you use my rankings.
No, I know. I mean, look, here's the thing. There are like guys in my TGFBI queue that I was talking about before. I'll give it away. I don't care.
Us where Sasaki is. You don't have to tell us who all the other names are.
No, but this is my point.
Is Sasaki number one on that queue? Because for some people, you would be. You named a lot of names.
I don't have him on my queue. I'm not getting him.
He's not even on your queue.
Because I don't
care. That's saying something.
Well, I don't expect to get him because I expect him to go before I would go for otherwise. Okay. All right. And I'm fine saying my cue. I don't care. Like the pitchers that I have on here are like Spencer Schwellenbach and Justin Steele and Jared Jones and Joe Ryan and Robbie Ray.
And you'd rather have those guys.
Sorry?
You'd rather have those guys.
Yes. because I think all of those are going to get more innings this year than Sasaki, have more of a refined arsenal. And even Jerry Jones, I think, has more of a refined arsenal.
I have 109 innings down for Sasaki.
Right. 109?
Yeah.
I don't want to draft. That's not on the IL.
I mean, yeah, 109, because if you do a true six-man rotation, I did the numbers, and you cap out at about 135.
Yeah, I don't.
So I'm basically saying he's like 135 full strength, and he's actually a little bit less than that because I'm a little bit worried.
I do not want this. I'm not. There's not a place I'm going.
You do a couple of splitters. You're like, I want that.
Oh, I know. That's really cool. I'm going to ask you. There's an interesting pitcher that I'm curious if you'd rather have than Sasaki. I'm going to ask you who that is after this break. There is someone this spring that we've already seen throw two ticks harder, add a cutter, and has also been quoted to say, yes, I want to sit at 96. And that's Christopher Sanchez.
And he got bigger.
Do you want Christopher Sanchez more than Roque?
Here's the thing that's so annoying to me. Have you watched him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he throwing a cutter?
I know. Okay, so the game I was able to watch with it, it was like the worst camera angle for lefties.
Yeah, it's the worst camera angle for lefties. I was watching that game.
So the data we have did say that
I recorded one of those that was like a higher one. I recorded one of his pitches that was like a higher one, and I sent it to Trevor May, and I said, I think this is a cutter. Is it or is it a sinker? I can't tell.
Yeah.
And Trevor was like, I think that's a sinker, bro. And I think it was just a sinker that went high.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if he's throwing cutters.
I was like, is this a changeup that just backed up too? Yes. Oh God. But no, we did get data and we did see that there was cutter.
Okay. There was a cutter.
We have
some data from somewhere.
Yes.
Okay, good.
No, it was the most recent game. Yeah. He did have some cutters and it was inside. It's there. Not as prominent as I want it to be. It was like 9% usage to right-handers. It's like,
okay,
but fine.
I think at least he's throwing in games. Yeah. He's throwing harder.
Oh yeah,
the body's there.
It's,
I don't know.
It's just so simple. It is so simple for Christopher Sanchez. Everyone, okay. What was the problem with Sanchez last year? And it's one number that is bad. The hit per nine. It was 9 hit per nine, and right. Everything else that you look at with Sanchez, he has every element of that top 30.
Right, he's off that sinker probably.
And it's exactly right. It's a low walk rate that should give him a good whip. It's efficiency. He has a win potential. He has the innings per start.
I mean, he's
even has enough
Sandy
strikeout
Alcantara.
Potential in his
he's
swing
Sandy
strike
Alcantara
rate.
Alcantara to me. I mean, he's right.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
But Sandy Alcantara has a power breaking ball.
Right. And also just power everything. But right. It's Christopher Sanchez throws sinkers to right-handers and his attack plan is like, oh, strike. Sinker, you know, and just like everywhere. It's just down the middle. Doesn't matter. It's not with the precision of I need to get this outside to go the change up underneath, kind of like Logan Webb does to lefties and so on. And that's why you get this massive 9 hit per 9. But what all I'm saying is if he can do anything to lower that 9 to 8, all of a sudden that whip takes a massive dive down and the ERA comes with it, more wins, more going further into games. It doesn't need to be like a 7 out of nowhere. Just get to 8. And if you're saying that he has a cutter that should help with that and throwing two ticks harder, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's going to have a 9 hit per 9 again. I'm going to say that's going to be better. And 8 is kind of like slightly below average for fantasy starters in the first place. So I'm a believer in that.
I'm going to take Roque over Sanchez. I'm excited about that, all that, but I do think that the strikeout rate is capped a little bit, and
I agree with that. But
you'd be happy if he got up to 21, 22. I think that, you know, he could get up to Logan Webb territory. Now, if the cutter is as good as possible, you get to Sandy Alcantara territory. So sure. I think it's right now, it's, you know, at full strength, it's Sandy, Logan, Christopher Sanchez, and they are of an archetype that does not usually produce top 10 pitchers.
I agree with you there.
Usually have the, like, 28%
strikeout rate. It needs to be 223 innings of Sandy.
So you get there, yeah.
But what I will say is I'm willing to bet right now that Christopher Sanchez, if you're telling me he has 109 innings Sasaki, that
because he's worth more.
Sanchez is going to get more strikeouts than Sasaki then.
Yeah, he will by virtue of volume.
Right?
I mean, it's all probabilistic thinking where it's like, you know, if it's exactly 109 innings, then Roki's not probably worth his ranking.
Well, right. But you're saying that that's right. That's like the middle.
But I'm trying to show that that's where the risk is the innings.
Yeah,
the risk
that's a great point.
Maybe anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in that. His teammate, Christopher Sanchez's teammate, Ranger Suarez, showed up yesterday. Guess what he was doing? I don't know. Just like 2.5 ticks down at like 88.
Oh. And there's another reason to be worried about him. The announcers were talking about it during that game.
Yeah.
The announcers were saying they're slow walking Ranger Suarez. And even if the Phillies didn't tell you, you could tell because he's not starting the game. He's facing the minor leaguers and he's not starting the game. And this is his first appearance. And so there is a little whiff of risk about Ranger Suarez's health and what's going on. And that's something one of the things you can do right now, I think the most interesting thing you can do right now with results is maybe sort by innings.
Yeah.
And that would give you a sleeper that I can tell you right after this break.
I just did a break.
Did you? Oh, no.
That was a really good tease.
I thought it was good timing. Dang it.
You just did one.
Okay. Well, I'll start over if you want to.
No, just keep going. That's fine.
If you sort, do you know who is the leader for innings across all of spring training right now?
I'm going to say, I'm trying to think right now. Like, I've covered every game, so like I should know this.
He's already had 3 starts. He's pitched amazing. He's given up one
hit. Verlander, I don't know.
No, one hit. 11 strikeouts, 8 2/3 innings.
Matthew Liberatore.
Landon Roop.
Oh, actually, I want to talk to you about him.
Yeah.
Oh, last year,
Landon Roop, I was like, you know, I'm looking at your arsenal, and I love that slider, and I love that sinker.
And he's doing something else that's so interesting.
He said,
you know,
oh, cutter.
You got it.
You might. He said, I'm going to throw a cutter. He said, I'm going to come to spring next year, and I'm going to have a cutter.
So what I'm talking about, but that's cool. Oh. It might be what I'm saying. It's what it was so interesting. He's such an extreme. He's like an actual side armor. You know, we talk about that a lot. Of like a 3/4 is like a side. No. He's legitimately
all the way on the third base side of the rubber.
Yeah. He's a side. I can see it in the movement profile. Like the sinker and changeup are like right at 0 on the Y axis, right?
You can see their arm slot sometimes in their movement profiles.
Oh, all the time. Even in the strike zone plots, you can just see the line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And what's so cool to me is that he has that sinker and changeup that are just like the same thing but slower, which is awesome. I always love that. Mm-hmm. It's just mirroring perfectly. You have the breaking ball on the other side. It's like a, what is it? Like, I want to say 40 inches of difference in horizontal movement between the sinker and the breaker. It's something crazy. But this is my favorite part. He has a 4-seamer that might be this cutter that he's referring to. But it's a 4-seamer with a negative height adjusted VAA. Right? Yeah. And what I think is going on is that he's actually like almost submarine on this.
Yeah.
And he's actually like going underneath and throwing it upstairs to lefties. He went 2-for-6 whiffs on this at 91.
Yeah, I think I might also be talking about the 88 mile an hour slider.
Mm. Oh, yeah, right. Is it like in between the halfway point of the sweeper?
Yeah, it's like kind of a gyro.
Yeah, that's great. Just throw that in there. Why not? Here's a little mix up. Oh my gosh. It can be a cement mixer. It doesn't matter because it's like they think of the two extremes and it's just not, you know, just waiting for it to do something and then it doesn't, you know?
It's just amazing how good he's been. He's been good against major league lineups. And I think he must just have done a lot of work over the offseason because he just looks so good out there. I don't know.
Yeah, he's like the better version of Justin Masterson.
Because I'm just thinking of like
ridiculous side
to give him more pitches. Like Justin Masterson in the age of pitch design would be pretty interesting. Could they?
Oh yeah.
Because you know they probably did. I think we did have pitch FX during Masterson, but they probably were like just early pitch FX were like, oh, your 4-seam has a 6 IVB,
right?
Like that's pretty crappy, dude. You shouldn't throw that. Whatever. What is it? Now it's a 7. He has a 7 IVB on his 4-seam. But
right now
when your sinker has, you know, 4 inches of IVB and you're throwing sideways, like the 7 might be enough.
Oh man, that I a couple things about him. One, that those mechanics always just hurt, and I felt so bad for him. They just look like they were painful.
The difference, by the way, is 36.8 inches.
Yeah, there you go. Oh my god, it's like 20 inches for Rupp's sinker horizontally, which is just just jammed in inside, you win. But Masterson is now Justin Master Dad, I'm sure. So
at this point.
Yeah,
multiple times
over. I hope he's all right, having a good time. But
a big fan. I'm a big fan of his because he was born in Jamaica. He was one of my Jamaican brethren.
Now, we skipped ahead slightly because I don't have an answer for this, and I am curious who it is. I'm even looking at John Becker's spreadsheet, and it's blank. If it's not Ranger Suarez, who is it? Oh. Is it Tywin Walker? Because Tywin Walker was two ticks up for his credit. Is that 93? Yes.
He's not even on Becker's sheet.
Yeah, he isn't on it. No one's there. And there are like random names like Michael Mercado.
He's over on the bullpen side.
Tyler Phillips. Okay. They're just random dudes with the Phillies. They're just kind of waiting for Andrew.
It's 100% Walker.
But yeah, it's Walker. I forgot about Walker as I was asking that, but like, oh God. Yeah. You know, I still miss Spencer Turnbull. And I will go to my dying bed on this, that they messed up Spencer Turnbull and they played with fire, where the Phillies last year had Spencer Turnbull pitching the best baseball of his life. And they thought, okay, you know what? We have Tywin Walker coming back. We are going to instead stop this and we can get it back later this season. And no. They stopped him and then started him back up, and stopping and starting back up as pitchers are not easy. And what happened? He got hurt right away, and we haven't heard about Spencer Turnbull since. And and you did this for Tywin Walker.
I'm surprised nobody's given him one of those sort of make good on, you know, injury, maybe 2 year.
I feel like he's been done dirty. Like everywhere he goes, he's just been done dirty. Yeah. I don't know.
One thing I can tell you though, is that he does talk about it pretty freely and openly, and perhaps teams feel like he is talking out of turn and telling too many things from behind the scenes.
Maybe that's it. You might see, by the way, Tyler Phillips, who it looks like they're out of options as well for the Phillies, instead of Tywin Walker. I still haven't seen Moises Chassé, unfortunately. They're slowing him, they're like ramping him, they're being very protective of him. I'm like, oh, this sucks. I don't want this. I want Chassé to be here. This is going to be cool.
Yeah.
When that does happen, but not yet. With Rupp,
I don't actually know that he even makes that rotation. Because,
he shouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think Kyle Harrison's that good. But
he's throwing a cutter.
Yeah. He's also throwing a little harder. I just don't think that it's a little bit like a Mitchell Parker situation where it's like,
yeah.
Has he done something to lose that rotation spot? You know, like he hasn't. If they start him at the beginning of the year and he's terrible for 2 or 3 weeks, then yes, he'll lose it.
Right.
But I don't think that a bad spring loses Kyle Harrison that job. He's done enough where he's the favorite. And then Birdsong has actually been corralling the ball a little better than spring and has better stuff overall than Landon Roop, you know?
Yes.
You know, Birdsong might still be the six there, and then that makes Roop the seven.
You know, has Birdsong induced a walk this spring?
No, I don't think he has.
I don't think so, right? If only we had data. I don't have any data on him.
The bad thing about Roop for me is that I could see him going the Jake Junis way.
Oh,
Birdsong
no.
has six strikeouts and zero walks in four innings. Pretty good.
He hit a guy. I'm sorry.
I should really count in your walk total.
It really should. It should be. but I just like randomly out of context. He hit a guy.
You're right.
He's not going to get the starting spot. He hit a guy. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, God.
No, not like that.
But it really is actually a bunched crew in San Francisco. Like you have Logan Webb, Robbie Ray, Justin Verlander. Like, okay, until they're hurt, like 100% in the rotation. And then Jordan Hicks.
They said he was in.
Right, which is weird because they were out on him last year, but then he's there. But
just lost his velo over the course of the season. He didn't have the stamina to go all the way through the season. So now they're thinking, what if he can do what he did the first 2-3 months of the season for 4 or 5 months?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And then And then after that, right?
They could also lie. They lie all the time.
What? No way. Kyle Harrison, Hayden Birdsong, who again, I think you've convinced me a bit about Birdsong, made me really think about like what speaks to unruly command a lot. And it's not really what we've seen from Birdsong, and that should be something tweakable. So I've become a lot more aware of that. And the Rupp stuff from, you know, watching this morning, I was like, what? So Carson Wisenhunt and Mason Black, I think, are.
But doesn't he look a little bit like Jake Junis?
Oh, I don't have it in my head right now.
Jake Junis had that big sweeper, you know, has that big.
Oh, I know. There was one similar, breaking it's ball. Not,
yeah. Junis isn't quite as low down as a release, right. but it is that like elite kind of slider. Like just come in here and throw that slider 60% of the time.
Yeah, no, I get that completely. And like even Junis would then manipulate that slider to be a different, like a slower pitch at times.
And that's like what Rupp is doing right now. He's got the gyro slider and the curve. And
yeah. One more team that I got to bring it up, and I'm curious kind of your take. We got to talk about the Marlins because we already mentioned it with Sandy Alcantara that, okay, fine. He's there. He's going to be traded, all that stuff, whatever. Fine. I think we're both out on Edward Cabrera at this point. Edward Cabrera needs to do just like 25% sliders in my view, and he's not there yet. And otherwise I just can't trust that this is going to work.
I still have some shares, but it's mostly draft and hold, like 11th, 12th pitcher.
Right.
10th pitcher.
And the guy I really wanted to talk about was Cal Quantrill. Just kidding. It's really two guys. It's Max Meyer and Ryan Weathers, who should both be in this rotation out of the gate. And both are showcasing increased velocity. I don't have any data myself. It's not public in StatCast. Our good friend Lance Brzozowski was able to corral some data, share it with everybody, that Weathers is throwing 19 IVB four-seamers and throwing harder again. And we've seen in previous seasons that Ryan Weathers
19. That is such a, like, it's kind of amazing. Like he came up throwing like 14s and 15s.
And the thing is, we would see in the spring at times that he would actually have it. I remember talking to the Padres and they were saying Ryan Weathers was actually looking really good for a moment. And then it got a lot worse.
There's something about it. He's like trying to improve it. Like his natural slot wants to do something and he's trying to improve it. And he's been working hard at it. You can tell it just keeps incrementally going up. 19 is amazing.
And he also lost 20 pounds. He talked about also his mental state improving. Like I love this a ton where we don't really consider like, what is our mental state constantly and how are we focused on this? And are we determined and do we have that ambition and are we allowing ourselves to improve essentially? Right. Mm. And he had a major post about it for himself. So yes, best shape of his life. Sure. But I actually do put some stock into that. And I'm so curious to see the data on him while Max Meyer's throwing two ticks harder and has a slider that's 90.6 now. Instead of 88, and also has a sweeper at 86.
Mm-hmm. 86 mile sweeper is good. I mean, once you get over 83, 84 with the sweeper, that's good.
And having that not cut slider, which is actually a very similar movement to the slider from last year, which is crazy to me.
That's a very, very 0-0 slider. I've got 1-inch glove, 1-inch drop.
Yeah, but so relative to
that should be good against lefties, right?
That's also gyro. To me, I think about it a lot relative to the fastball that you're getting. Right.
Yeah. Cause he's got a 16 inch, you know, with 10 inches arm side forcing.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, Max Meyer's now dropped his arm angle to what it was back in college and throws harder with now two good breaking balls, one of them being a 90, 91 mile per hour slider / cutter. I was really not in on Max Meyer at all. And now I'm like, oh, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sign me up.
I mean, this is one of those stories where, you know, if a guy can spin it, you know, you want to give him a little extra credit because they can, you know, if they at least have one good breaking ball, this is the kind of work they can do around it. It's like a little bit with Landon Rupp, what he's doing. He's like, I've got a great breaking ball and I'm going to fashion a whole arsenal around it. And I think that's true of Max Meyer with that hard gyro. Now he's going to throw the sweeper when righties, he can play the slider and the sweeper off each other to righties where he's kind of throws a slider. They get swinging. Then he throws a sweeper off the slider. He can play against righties. He can be, you know, a four pitch guy. Against lefties, he's going to be more four seam gyro slider changeup, but that's still three pitches. They are all fundamentally different in terms of shapes and they're all pretty hard. I mean, even the changeup's 88. So I think I like a lot about Max Meyer, and it starts with the ability to spin and a good park. And you know, one of the thing that you said there about arm slots, I think is a little bit interesting too, is that, you know, I think that was it, James Paxton at some point.
Oh yeah.
You know, he was always messing around with his arm slot. It was always going up and down or whatever. And, I think one of his pitching coaches in Seattle or something like just said, okay, I'm going to roll you the ball. Just like as if it was a ground ball. I'm going to roll you the ball. And I want you to throw the ball to first base. Like, I just want you to throw the ball to first base. And he threw the ball and he was like, that's your arm slot.
Right.
And I've heard other pitchers, other pitching coaches say, like, sometimes we chase these shapes and chase all this stuff. But like, you know, when it comes to the fastball, the way that you throw the hardest is your best fastball.
Yeah. Right.
Not
right.
only because velo is important, but because that's your natural arm slot.
And right. You can adjust from that.
And probably better for injury that you're not throwing out of some slot that is not natural to you.
Absolutely. So, oh man. So I'm hyped on it.
Could be good news for Meyer. Yeah. I want to get a share somewhere. I don't think I have one yet.
Yeah. Well, good luck in TGFBI, you know,
you too. I hope you get a pitcher someday.
We'll see. And, I slid Mason at 20. He still didn't put us in our league. I don't understand it.
He wanted us each to win our leagues.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, right. for me, that's a me thing. but Eno, what you got working on for the Athletic this week?
My six breakout pitchers came out.
Ooh.
I try. Last year, it produced Hunter Green and. I don't know if Seth Lugo was part of that one, but it did pretty well last year.
Nice.
So I've got my new six this year, and they wouldn't surprise anybody listening to this podcast, but I can't name them all because that's the whole point of the paywall, I guess. That's how it works. But
all right,
please,
I'm gonna say
check it out.
I'm just gonna make a guess at one of them.
Guess one.
I mean Hunter Brown.
That's no.
The theory broke out is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's a little bit more like people haven't broken out yet. I'll give you one more guess because you'll still get it. I'm sure.
I don't know. Bobby Miller.
Shut up. Shut
Justin May? I don't know.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, we just got to read the article, guys.
Yeah.
Just got to read
Think
it.
Hard sinker.
Hard sinker. Oh, yeah. Jose Soriano.
Yeah, he's on there.
Yeah. That was easy. That should have been. Yeah. I think that's on Eric Smolsky's too. I'm a big fan. It's just that it's the Angels. Just like I just it's the Angels. That's all. That's all it is. That's my analysis, guys. That's what you're here for.
And I've got deep hitters and deep pitchers coming out. You know, this week and next.
Oh, nice. The deep pitchers part sounds great. huge thanks to Eno Saris for coming. It's just such short notice onto the show. Obviously, I give him a follow and read everything that he does. I'm Nick Pollock. You can find my stuff at Pitcherless. We actually just revealed all of the fun things that we're doing, including the pro dashboard, which is a league sync for your fantasy leagues this year that we'll be releasing in season as a beta and for a full release next year. But go test it out and enjoy it. We also have our live draft assistant web app coming out very shortly. So go consider getting PL Pro. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. May your bats be low and you strike outside. And we'll talk about the craft of pitching again next week. Bye-bye.